can't hear Mary Lou.
Yeah, neither can I.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, she's mute. You're muted. Mary Lou, you're muted.
No, I'm not muted. Okay, good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This hearing is for petition 262-23. The appellant is Renee Kowalski with a parcel number 1-1189-105-002-008. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do powers to other federal and state boards and the board and the assessor's office. The role of this board is evidence.
I'm having troubles hearing you, Mary Lou.
Yeah, we can't hear you at all.
At all?
No, we
just hear you very soft. Very faint, very faint. Yeah, try turning up your...
Go, I'll get closer to it.
Is this better?
Yes,
a little bit.
Following this, let me see, where was I? The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant, do you have your right hand raised?
Yes.
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential petition, so we will allow a half hour for this. Ms. Kowalski, we're going to allow you 10 minutes for your position. We'll hear from the appraiser for about 10 minutes. We'll have some questions. And then we'll adjourn and spend the last 5 minutes deliberating. So you may proceed with your presentation.
Okay. The first thing that I sent for you is the Exhibit A, which shows the continued increase in value, even though I have not made any improvements to the property. I believe the value of my home is not the true fair market value because the county card originally was incorrect. Well, when I found this error, I let Zach Avery know. And for 3 years, I was charged, the regular tax. I did not receive any compensation for the overpayment once he made the corrections and no refund. So, once Zach made the corrections, the value should not have increased by $75,510. On my Gmail letter to you, I wrote in different things about the property that are a problem. There are 240 square feet within the home that is basically a garage that has a sliding glass door on it. There's no heat or air conditioning. The home needs a lot of work. I do have a closed-in porch, and there's water damage there, and all the walls need to be removed and replaced. There's no heating or air conditioning in that room either. The estimated cost was almost $30,000, and windows about $4,000. And then there's exterior doors in that list there. The other thing is the roof cost and the roof costs on the shed outside and the deck boards. And then the second thing that I brought up was in Exhibit B. And that just shows my land value increased from $30,000 to $40,000 in 2022. And then in 2023, it increased from $30,000 to $70,000, a total of $40,000 increase in 1 year. My property size is 10,282 square feet, and the value is currently set at $70,000. And I found a comparison property that is actually on the same street as mine, and it has a size of the lot being 25,520 square feet. It's in a better neighborhood. It's valued at the same $70,000 that my parcel is valued at. If you look on Exhibit C, page one, you'll see the size of that parcel, and you'll see on page two the detailing of the $70,000 value. And then in Exhibit B, you'll see my parcel, page one, for the size, and it shows the value there as well. What I don't understand is how my parcel, being less than half the size of that parcel in Exhibit C, can be valued as the same amount, but it's in a better location. So that was one of the things that...
If you want, I can speak to that.
Okay.
As you know, when you buy or sell a house, it's for a fixed value. You buy it at a certain price or you sell it at a certain price. And as a part of that number, land is not broken out, right? You don't know how much you're paying for land. You don't know how much you're paying for the house and other things. So what happens is the assessor for a given neighborhood will assign a value to the land. So just as you pointed out, in a given neighborhood, all the houses are going to have the same land value if they're under 1 acre. And so that's why your property and that other property you were citing are both $70,000. It's an assigned value. And the assessor can speak more to that if he wants to. But
and I just had two more points to make.
Sure.
I took a look at home costs, which have sold recently in Exhibit D. I have a couple of them there. It shows a home sold for almost $300,000, and it's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. And then on...
Are those the same sales you listed on your petition?
Yes. Yes. I sent you the exhibit.
Right. D, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And it has more bedrooms than my home on page one. On page two, another home, which is much newer than my home, it also sold for almost $300,000. And it has more bedrooms than my home. My home has, like, you know, that garage room, but it's not a room that is a living space. And then the other extra room that I have, it doesn't have a closet or anything. So in talking with a realtor, they say, no, it doesn't have that value because it doesn't have a closet. It's not a bedroom. And this room isn't heated and that room isn't heated. So that's not counted as livable space. So that impacts the value of my property quite a bit. Lastly, looking at Exhibit E, I'm showing a couple of new home costs there for 2 bedrooms. The first page showing the cost of that new home is $203,000. Well, it's almost $204,000, we may as well say. And then on the second page, it's a 2-bedroom, 3-bath for $236,499. And I see these values, though they're brand new, are lower than the value what's being placed on my home currently. It doesn't make sense to me that my home built in the 1960s would be more valuable than a brand new home built today. So, you know, the whole thing started with you know, there being an error once the county went to the new system.
Can you speak to that error? We're not aware of what that error was.
Well, they had put on there that they put on that the house was a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. I mean, I guess when they merged into the new system, the information didn't carry over because it's 2 bedrooms, 2 baths. They closed in the garage, yes, but there's no heating and cooling there. I mean, all they did was just put a door on it. And so
is it still being used as a garage or is it being used for something else?
It's just got storage. And so it doesn't have, it used to have like an old water tank in there. It doesn't have heating and cooling. It's just like a storage space.
Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, Mr. Avery had made that change, but the value still keeps going up on the house in spite of the fact of the correction. And so there was no refund for any overpayment in the tax that I paid because they had it listed. They had items on there that were not here. I had talked with a real estate agent about how I can make more value into the home, and she made suggestions. And some of those suggestions were actually put on there as though they were already done, like this patio that they had out back that was, you know, 16 feet by, I don't know, 40 feet or something all the way across the back. And that doesn't even exist. That was just something the realtor had suggested that I could make more value in my home for.
Okay. I'll tell you what, at this point, let's hear from the assessor and then we'll circle back.
Of course. Okay.
Chris?
Yep. Thank you. Okay. So the assessor's determination of value is $335,860 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. So the subject's a one-story home. In revaluation cycle 2, it was statistically trended in the 23-24 year per RCW 84.40.030, which dictates that all property must be valued at 100% of true and fair value. The appellant states that the property record card was corrected and the value should not have increased by $73,510, kind of like she mentioned. And you also addressed the land and how it's not a per square foot, it's per a lot utility. So to kind of go into that more, if you can put a house on it and you can put utilities on it, we typically will assign it a lot value. In this instance, it was $70,000, which is why it would be the same as a neighbor. We wouldn't make a distinction between someone who has, for example, 0.17 or 0.18 or even 0.25 or 0.26, because at a certain point you really start to kind of be getting into the weeds as far as value goes at that point. We do make distinctions of size if land is over an acre, but neither the subjects nor the example that she gave are land that are over an acre in size. And so we provided on page 3 of our documentation the sales that we felt, a sample of the sales that we felt justified the value of the subject's property. In all of these instances, there's sales that sold in 2022. So they're more recent than the 2019 sales that were used in the appellant's information. It would only make sense that 2019 sales are going to be lower than 2022 sales. Just because of the nature of the market. But we're bracketing pretty well with the size, all of those features, and age, amenities that justify the value that we've placed on the property. And so what I wanted to speak to kind of specifically was the petitioner's additional information that was provided to kind of speak to some of those things. Regarding the value continually going up, yes, value is going to continue to go up in the market that we're experiencing. Basically, from about 2018 forward, we saw unprecedented just increase in value to where in the situation that we are now. And so for the 2023 assessed values, we took a look at primarily 2022 sales to help us determine what that market value should be. So even if there's a correction to the record, and just to use a rough example, if we make a correction to the record and your value goes down $50,000 from that, but the market adjustment is $75,000, your property value is still going to go up. It's going to go up $25,000 in that specific instance. So making a correction does not necessarily mean that a value is going to decrease. And it also doesn't mean that a value is going to stay decreased. That home, once it's corrected, is still going to be influenced by the market just like any other home.
Chris, let me ask you, it doesn't say specifically what the correction was. Did it reduce the number of square feet to kind of take out that?
It did. It reduced the square feet. And I can see here exactly what happened.
Okay, thanks.
Looking at Zach's notes here. Zach is Mr. Avery's first name.
And who is he? Is he one of the...
He's a residential appraiser.
Okay.
So he was the person who revalued the property for physical inspection in 2022. It says right here that in August 2022, the owner called and said the home technically has two bedrooms updated. In 2023, the owner said there's no concrete patio in the backyard, removed the patio and removed $2,450 in value at that point. Let me go up to this other note. Okay. Went over features. Garage conversion does not have HVAC. So at that point, it looks like was a correction generated. Sorry, our system, I have to go through each of these notes and open them up individually. Okay. Okay, so owner emailed pictures, looks into deferred maintenance. So the corrections were made. And I'm looking at the timeline. Let me see, reached out via email, comps and file.
Yes, could I ask you a question while you're agitating on that? I noticed on your comper, the grid estimate says $320,900 is a median price, and the subject property is valued at $335,860, which is, you know, $15,000 above that. Can you speak to why this property is above the median value of your comp?
Absolutely. There's a big difference between mean and median. Mean is the average. So you would take all of the numbers and throw them into a pile and say, you know, add them all together, multiply them by the amount, and that's going to give you your mean, your average. Median's the most commonly recurring number in a data set.
No. Median is the midpoint.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you were
mode,
to,
mode is the most mode commonly.
Excuse me. So if you look at median, you're going to have all of the data kind of in a row, and you're going to see numbers from the lowest number to the highest number. Median's going to be that middle point. So a median could be a number that is actually represented if it's the exact middle, or it could be a number that's kind of in between two numbers. And what, right. what median can tell us is kind of where on like a bell curve that you would fit on things. And with a bell curve, with statistics, with mass appraisal, you're looking at a range and you're not necessarily looking to hit a target. You want to see something that's more between on the low end of the scale. I should do this backwards because I'm staring at the stage. On the low end of the scale, which is 90% of the ratio, and on the high end of the scale, which is 110% of the ratio. And then our goal from there is to try and hone that in to be within that 100%. So I show in here that the issue was addressed with the area. It was originally considered living area because we saw that it was converted, it was a converted garage. And then after conversation with Ms. Sawalski and Zach, that converted garage area was changed into being designated like more enclosed porch, because it's got to be considered something. And if it doesn't have HVAC, it doesn't fit the criteria of living areas. So we converted it instead into being enclosed porch.
Okay.
So okay.
Ms. Sawalski, did you have anything further to add?
Well, as far as on, you know, determining the average, I mean, I know that you would take all the comps that you gather together and add the cost of each of the homes and then divide it by however many homes you had. I just wanted to make sure that all those comps are houses the same age as my house. I mean, obviously a new house is going to cost you more than an old house.
Correct. Right, and they make adjustments for age.
And having said that, I wanted, the age reminded me, I want to speak to her example E, the brand new build that she referenced. And it's got example E on the top hand, on the top right hand corner, and then the big
right,
logo,
right,
just to make sure everyone's looking at it. But first of all, it's not a sale, it's a listing. Second of all, it says from 203999, which may as well mean starting at. And the third thing is it says build on your own land. This assumes that you already own the land, which would not be factored into the price of the sale. So this is not a comparable sale whatsoever. It's not even a sale to begin with. And that's the same with the next page.
He's right. It doesn't include the land. That's true. But even if we added the land value, $70,000 to that, let's say if it was on my lot being a brand new home, the first one on the first page would be $274,000. And the second one would be $306,000, which I'm pointing out.
Did you notice the size difference?
Yeah, there is a size difference too. I just couldn't find any that were two bedroom the size that this house is, because they just.
And just so you know, for what is typical, bedroom count does not really make a difference in valuation, because our valuation is based primarily off of square foot. Could you see an example where bedroom count could be a detriment or a bonus to a home? Absolutely. There's a house off of Highland Drive in Kennewick that's 5,000 square feet and they have one bedroom, because that's the way they wanted it to be built. So that is a negative factor into the home. But for the most part, we just typically go with what we would expect to be typical. A home's typically between a range of, you know, 1,400 or even 1,200 and 1,800 or 1,900 square feet. You could see three bedrooms and two baths. You could see four bedrooms and two baths. You could see three bedrooms and a den that they end up using as a bedroom anyway. And at the end of the day, it's usually the pure raw square footage, unless there's something that is truly, truly unique about that property, in which case we would examine it further at that point.
Right. I see what you're saying. But we do know that whenever you're looking at a home and you want to have so many bedrooms, the one that has more bedrooms that you can house your family would go for more money than, say, one that has less bedrooms, because you can attribute a room to each child or family member that's living with you. So it will bring more volume to have more bedrooms.
Well, that sort of depends on the buyer, right? You can find a buyer for any house, right? Because
right.
Some people are looking to downsize, some people are looking to upsize. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean,
you got it.
And honestly, with the market, especially in toward the end of 2022, people were just buying what was available. And you could actually see an increase in value on smaller homes because, one, it was available, and two, with interest rates, it was all people could afford. So they were having to forego the extra bedroom and going, it looks like we're going to be buying bunk beds instead.
Okay. Well, guys, we're pretty much at the end of our time.
Yeah, we are.
Peter, Chuck, any questions?
Not from me.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Ms. Sawalski, I think we understand your position. So we will go ahead and end the hearing at this point and we'll deliberate. So if you could sign off, please.
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-113-23. The appellant is Jordan Tingley with parcel number 1-3298-307-0000-015. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellant does not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We normally allow a half hour for this, so the appellant's not present, so I'll try and read from his petition. He's requesting a land value of $65,000 down from the appraiser's $140,000. Requesting improvements in buildings at 407,790 down from the assessor's 528,870 or 670, I guess it is, for a total of 472,790 against the appraiser's 662,670. And he states, I bought my house during the COVID pandemic where house sales were well above assessed value. I received my assessed value saying it was valued at 472,790. Since the market has cooled off, houses have been decreasing in sales value. Many houses in my neighborhood have been on the market for several months because they won't sell at the old prices. So even with the current market trend, I was told the value of my home went up. I can't read that number.
Looks like
41.5%. Yeah, okay. In 1 year, I am petitioning that 1 year my house has not increased at all, let alone by 41.5%. Okay. Well, excuse me. He doesn't. Okay, he actually bought the house in July of 22. So, you know, with that, you know, his own house is the best indicator of value, right?
Yeah.
So, he talked about COVID, you know, the high houses being high because of COVID. Well, 2022 is well after the COVID panic, and so I don't quite understand his argument, but okay. We do know that houses have come down a bit in 2023, but that's a nationwide trend, so. Okay, Chris, let's hear from you.
Sure, so the assessor's determination of value is 668,670. with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. So with an effective date of January 1st, 2023, obviously we put a lot of weight on the 2022 sales to determine the value. He bought his house in 2022. It's the perfect comp because it's the subject. He paid $714,500, which puts our assessed value at 94% of his sale price. So what I did want to point out is if we want to skip ahead to page 4 of our documentation, I wanted to highlight comp 4 because it's an interesting study in what he's asserting. Comp number 4, you can see it's got a $690,000 sale with a date of October 9th, 2023. So this sale was not used in our pool of sales to trend and determine value. But I want to bring it to your attention for a couple of reasons. It sold in 22 as a new home for $754,900. And then it sold again in 23 for $690. But even at that resale, with the home no longer being a brand new home at that point, because it's been lived in, albeit very shortly, even that resale value of it is above what his current value is based off of 22 sales. So I believe that the assessor's office is justified in what we have as assessed value at 94% of the 2022 sales.
Okay.
And at 94% of his own sale when he bought it. His concern about the value going up would be because when he received his record card, it showed 2021 value. So yes, his value did increase from 21 to 22 and from 22 to 23 because he bought it. His sale went into the pool. All those sales show that the value needed to go up.
Right, right. Understand.
Well, I have a question, Chris. I found your comps 1 and 2 very interesting.
Yes.
They're the exact same price.
Mm-hmm. This is something that's pretty typical because these are all new builds, right? And okay, one of the things with a new build is you pick the house plan and then usually you pick like the package that you want. So, you know, if you look at comp 4, his sale is this, his house is basically the same as the subject, but then why did he sell for 40,000 more? Probably because they went with the upgraded amenities. The pretty consistent sale price of 1 and 2, you know, 3 is another high one. So, you know, 3 and 4, they probably went with like the higher package and the self-closing cabinetry and, you know, upgraded X, Y, and Z. Whereas 1 and 2 probably went with more of a baseline. You know, we still have carpet in the bedrooms versus laminate flooring throughout the whole thing, those types of things.
Okay, so basically they're exactly the same houses, so they sold for exactly the same price.
Yep.
As new, this would have been the first purchase of those houses from the contractor who built them.
Correct.
At that price. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Chris, are these view lots?
Not.
They don't look like it.
This area is one of those areas where it's like you got kind of a view until they start the next phase.
Yeah.
But realistically, all of their views are neutral to one another because they're all in the same area. And you can see in their land values. Their land values are, let me just close this out, really close out his petition so I can show you, tell you exactly. Like their land value is $140,000. So they're getting a higher lot rating than other areas in Richland would get by virtue of their location. But it's not really due to the view. It's just kind of due to the attractiveness of the area to people.
I'm trying to figure out where this is. Let's see. Is this West Richland?
Well,
it's out there behind Badger Mountain, isn't it?
Yeah, basically off of the Country Mercantile. So it's technically Richland by address, but, you know, colloquially we would call it West Richland.
Oh, is your map up south? Or...
If you look at the map on page 3, you can see to the left there. Yeah, they're a bit southeast of the Country Mercantile there.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
I always consider that West Richland, but okay, all right.
Yeah, I would have thought it was Richland.
Peter, you know exactly where those houses are, right? With your all your coffee drinking at Country Mercantile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I look at them frequently as I do the Langdon Trail.
Yeah.
It's all going to touch Riata in 5 years anyway, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kennewick's building west and south and west, and Richland's building east and... Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all one big city. I don't know. We keep arguing otherwise, but I think at least Kennewick and Richland ought to be the same city.
And Pasco's building north to get away from us.
Yeah. Well, they're in a different county and all that, so I would understand that. But well, that's neither here nor there. Okay. I have no questions. Peter, Chuck, questions?
I'm good.
No, none.
Okay. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing.
Thank you all for your time.
You bet. Okay.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-118-23. The appellant is Yang Wan and Ziquing Zhang with parcel number 1-2008-403-0000-025. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant, do you have your right hand raised?
No, okay, yeah.
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
This is a residential hearing scheduled for about 30 minutes. The appellant and the appraiser will each have about 10 minutes to highlight the points of their previously provided evidence. 5 minutes will be for rebuttal and questions from the board, and the five final minutes will be for deliberations by the board. So you may proceed, Mr. Yang.
Okay. Well, so I'm not familiar with this process. This is my first time to attend this kind of a thing. The thing is, I think the property tax is too high for us for this year. I think this is the thing we're gonna discuss today, right?
This is what?
This is the issue we're gonna discuss today.
Yes. Well, we're not actually talking about property tax, we're talking about the valuation of your property. taxes, on which the tax is based. So we're just talking about the valuation of the property today.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, because we did a little bit research on the you know, on the recently sold house around our house. For example, there's one it's the address is 3054 Wild Canyon Way, and that in Richland, Washington State. That house they sold on $550,000. That house is a very the size is very similar to ours, and that one their builder is Infinity, and they have a golf view on that house, and it's you know, it's a better much better house than ours. Then the value is $550, and I think our they also evaluate our house value is also around that number.
Okay, well, on your petition, you provided three comparable sales. The one you just mentioned doesn't seem to be on there.
Yes, I think my wife provide all the materials. She want to she want to attend today's hearing, but she had a meeting at this time. That's why she sent me here.
Okay. Well, tell you what. Why don't we hear from the assessor at this point, and then we can come back and talk some more.
Okay.
Okay. So the assessor's determination of value is $522,130. With an effective date of January 1st, 2023. So the appellant states that the comparable homes have lower values than the assessed value. The three comparable sales provided the appellant are different house types versus the subject property. They were built in the 60s or the 70s. The sales occurred in 2023, and they're also all located off of either McMurray or George Washington Way. They're not on Horn Rapids at all. So we would not have considered those sales by their location, by their house type, or by their age to be comparable to the subject. So what we've done is we've provided comparable sales that occurred in 2022 on pages 3 and 4 of the documentation that are all within the Horn Rapids Golf Course and better support, and were sales that were used in the larger pool to determine the assessed value of the property. So we have homes that are of a similar size in comps 1, 2, and 3. And we have some that are slightly smaller, 4, 5, and 6. Similar amenities and just kind of support our value that we have in place. And, you know, with that in mind, We just, you know, we feel that our value is justified.
Okay, and all your comps are what, single story with bonus room? Is that what I'm seeing?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The one I just told you, it's the address is 3054 Wild Canyon Way, Richland, Washington State. That one I think it's very similar to my house. It's the size. It also has one floor with a bonus room, and they have a golf view on that one, and they have you know, the builder is much better than my builder, and they also sold on 2022. The price is $550,000.
Which is about $27,000 more than we have the assessed value of your property at.
That's your comp 3, Chris.
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess to that point, can I ask a question? That Mr. Yang said His subject land value is 50,000, where all these others are 70 on the comps. Is that because he doesn't have a view?
Correct. He's interior from golf course frontage.
Okay, so you've already accounted for that then. Thanks.
Yes, yep. And even with accounting for that, that comp three, the one on Wild Canyon, sold for approximately $27,000 more than we have their assessed value at.
Yeah.
But adjusted, it comes down to 507,480.
Correct.
Versus 522 for the appraisal.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
My wife told me in the past, because I didn't had all the property tax things, all those documents, she did that. She told me that in the past, 2021, 2022, the increment is not like this big. It's like have a 30% increase from 2022 to 2023.
Chris, do you want to speak to that?
Absolutely. So the market, Washington state statute dictates that the assessor's office is 100% of market value. And that's determined based off of comparable sales and sales analysis and market trending. And the market, I agree, the market has increased drastically. It's done that minorly in 2018, 2019. And then we started to see larger and larger increases in 2020, 2021, and 2022. And as those sale prices increase and they're valid sales and they're arm's length transactions and they have proper market exposure, we have to trend the homes in the neighborhood based off of what the ones that are selling sold for. And so that number, that percentage of increase is reflective of what homes are selling for.
Okay. All right.
So I'd like to ask a question, Chris. So the comp three, which is the closest to the appellant's home, just 733 feet, and it's only the 507,000. Why would you pick comp one and two over comp three as, because comp three is the lower price.
Absolutely. If you take a look at the grid class, you'll see that comp one is a 30. Comp one is a landmark home like the subject. That area of Horn Rapids, which is kind of like their most recent point of expansion, Wild Canyon, a couple of phases out there, they primarily catered to three or four different home builders. There was Landmark, there was New Tradition, there was Titan, and I believe there was Infinity. Of those, three of those four, Titan, New Tradition, and Infinity, are 35 quality homes. Landmarks are a 30 quality home. So they are a lower overall quality, but they're kind of all interspersed in the mix with one another there. And you can see from the Landmarks that they put in a little extra effort to kind of get them to be up to that standard that you see with the 35 level homes, but they don't quite get there. And so why comp one would be put in the place of comp one in the positions in is because it's another landmark home. Granted, it's about 110 square feet smaller, but it's the same house type, same builder, still within that same Horn Rapids. And also they don't have, the other big difference with it would be the garages. You know, they've got a two bay versus the subject's three bay. But ultimately in that area, the big defining factor is it's like, are we building or buying a landmark, or are we building and buying a New Tradition or an Infinity home? And that's where that quality difference comes into play.
Okay. So
I think the appellant spoke to the fact that the other house was a better quality construction than his.
It is.
Yeah.
But you've accounted for that in your adjustments. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything further from the appellant?
Well, okay, let me see. Have you looked at the new construction area just very close to our house? It's a Bob White Way. Are you able to see that?
I could pull it up really quick, but if they're homes that are actively being constructed right now, they would not have been used in the pool for the trending of your home, which used 2022 sales.
Yeah. Okay.
For instance, on your petition, the three homes that you cited there are all 2023 sales, which are after the assessment date of 1/1/23. And what we're aware of is that home prices seem to have peaked in 22 and are slightly coming down in 23. So any newer, that's why maybe these 23 sales appear to be lower value than your house, is because of the dates are different. And so we're primarily looking at 2022 sales to get to the 1/1/23 assessment date.
Okay. Do you also consider 2021 sale? Or you just consider 2022 sale?
Yeah, well, as Chris said, the market was rising rapidly in 2020, 21, and 22. And each year was successively higher. So to get to the 1/1/23 sales, we're primarily going to want to look at 2022 sales, because those are the most current to the assessment date.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to consider like in the past 3 years sale.
Typically, okay. Yes, but this market is a little different from what we've seen in the past. If you had a normal stable year, stable period where prices didn't change much from year to year to year, then yeah, that would be an appropriate thing. But in a rising price market, you're going to want to look at the sales closest to the assessment date.
Okay. Yeah, because of that one, the Bob White Way one, that house is sold on 2021. It's a new building. The building is cost polished. And that house also has a golf view. And that area is a resort type area. And they sold the house at 487,000 dollars.
Chris, if you were to run that through Comper, what would the adjustments tell you?
Comper typically uses the most recent sales. So if I were to, do you happen to have an address for that one, Mr. Yang?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you clearly.
Do you have the address for that house you were just mentioning on Bob?
Okay. Yeah. It's a 3667 Bob White Way.
Okay. Let me dig and see if I can find it. 3667 Bob White.
Yeah, there are a bunch of house was sold during that time, 2021, on that year, and the price is most of them they are less than $500,000.
That's not 3667 Bob White is not bringing anything up. Bob White.
No. 3067. 3067.
Okay. There we go.
I think that house has a 2411 square feet, and
yeah.
It's only one floor. And it has a golf view.
313153. Sorry, I'm skipping through different programs here to get this in for you. Okay, so your property 416 walking stick. Let's add that one into it. 313153. Okay. So that's coming up 47,165. That's coming up with an adjusted sale price of 389,125, but we're also looking at negative 20 net adjustments and 28% gross adjustments. So there's almost $100,000 of adjusting going on with that one. Additionally, it doesn't have the bonus room.
Yeah, that means it's much better than ours because it's one floor. It's an same, almost the same size.
Okay.
Yeah, the building price is going to be much higher than ours.
Okay. So it's also a 2021 sale. And if we look at, they sold in 2021 for 487,165. So let's bring up your house again really quick.
471,000.
Correct. But there was a prior sale. The people who you bought it from bought it in 2019 for 408,011. So in 17 months, so in a year and a half from when they purchased it to when they sold it to you, it sold for 37,000 more, and your sale itself is still 2 years old from what the current market conditions were that were used to trend your home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that my home. Yeah, that's correct. My home is about 3 years old than the Bob White we won.
Okay. We're just about out of time here. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
I don't have any.
I think I'm okay.
Okay. Mr. Yang, anything further at this point?
Well, no, yeah, we just, want to try to see if our property is, well evaluated. Yeah, if we can lower the evaluation, maybe it will help us a lot.
Okay, well, yeah, well, we'll have to deliberate on that, but what you're giving us so far really isn't supporting your requested valuations.
Oh, okay.
So okay, Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing.
Thank you all.
And if you would sign off, Mr. Yang.
Okay. Excuse me. Just one last question. What's the next step?
Okay, we're going to deliberate, and then we will send you a decision letter within 4 weeks.
Okay.
You have the ability to take, if you don't like that decision letter, you have 30 days from the date of the letter you receive to appeal it to the Washington State Board of Tax Appeals.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-122-23. The appellant is Kirk Kenny. Parcel number is 1-0798-407-0002-012. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant does not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today appear? Affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. We typically allow a half an hour for this. The appellant is not present, so I will read from his petition. His land value, requested land value, is the same as the assessor. His improvements in buildings value is 16,361.63. As opposed to the assessor's 297,570. The 16,361.63 seems to be the improvement value for new windows in 2022. So I'll read that. Since purchasing the home in 2011, there's only been one major improvement done. That was purchasing new windows in 2022. The total for that was 16,361.63, and he states that he's had a work injury and has been unemployed since 2021. I see no comparable sales listed on the back on his notice of value. On the last page, it says increased by 30% by 68,670. Okay. Well, of course, my first comment is, he forgot the rest of his house. So he put in the value for the appellants, but, improvements, but okay. So seeing nothing further from the appellant, let's hear from the assessor.
Okay. Excuse me. So the assessor's determination of value is $347,570 with an effective date of January 1st, 2023. I want to state the assessor's office understands the improvements at 16,361.63 is actually a common question we get a lot of times when values change, and it's a misunderstanding of the definition of improvements, right? So people will call in and say, "I haven't done anything to improve my house. Why do you have the improvement values higher?" And we have to explain to them that improvement in how it's referenced in appraisal and how it's referenced in the documentation and on your property record card is not what I've done to it since the last time we looked at it. Improvements is the physical structures that exist within the land. So he's just kind of misunderstanding what's going on there, but I get why he did that, but I just kind of wanted to make that clear to understand why that happened. But, you know, having said that, we do that based off of sales. We do our training based off of sales. So if you look at pages 3 and 4 of our documentation, you can see that we've got 6 comparable sales in here. that justify where we have the assessed value at. And those are homes of a similar house type and a similar age that bracket the features of the home, including the amenities, things of that nature. And what we arrive at is a median of $383,400. But ultimately, you know, we're justified in the value of 347, 370. And, you know, that really bears out. We've got, you can see a pretty stark difference. Comparable sales 1 and 5 are actually both 2021 sales because there were less sales in this area. There were still obviously some. But if you look, you can see between 2021 and 2022, homes of a similar ilk and of a similar age, similar size, all those nature, there's a difference of approximately $40,000 to $50,000 in the value of the property, just to give you an idea of how much the market's increased in a year span. But based off of the information that we've provided, we feel that our value is justified and that our value should be sustained.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
Okay, I guess the one that I have is your assessment, Chris, is actually below the minimum of your comps. And I presume that's because there are a lot of, what's the right word, similar sales and stuff on your backup documentation that this one just kind of fell below that.
Yes, it's definitely on the low end of the range.
Low end, yeah.
Yeah, and how can that happen? You know, there, you can see instances where maybe, and again, just to use extreme examples, the majority of the homes are like are stucco homes, and maybe this one is like T111 or something like that. Okay. Or the majority of the homes that sold are sales that are typically, you know, maybe they've done some updating or renovating and things like that. But when we do trending, we're looking at the pool of sales, and we're bringing the pool of sales to 100%, and then everything else gets drug up along with it. There's always going to be the home that is like the least improved in the neighborhood. There's always going to be the home that maybe needs a little bit more work, or maybe they didn't use all of the updated features or things of that nature. So there's always going to be the low person. And mass appraisal is all about trying to encompass them as best as we can while knowing that sometimes there's going to be someone that's a little bit lower. Will we take a look at it? Yeah, absolutely. But we're not going to arbitrarily just bump him up more, because we only increase value based off of getting those sales in line. So right. If you were to call in and say, well, you guys are missing something, or I want you to take a review because it seems like I'm so much lower than everyone else in my neighborhood. And people don't usually do that unless they're trying to sell. and right. At that point, we would take a look at it as a case by case. But we're not going to look at every individual assessed value to see how much they increase a year. It's the sales that we do that based off of.
Right. Okay, great. Thanks.
Peter, any questions?
Not for me.
Chuck, anything? Any further questions?
Nope.
I have none as well. Okay. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing, then we'll deliberate. So, Chris, I guess you're done for the day.
We'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, see go you, back Chris. To the real job.
Yeah.